I will move on to number 22, Hidden Wood Park update. Dan, are you going to do that one?
Oh, yeah, Dan.
Yes. Assume you guys can hear me.
Yeah, welcome.
Okay. And I believe I am set up as a co-host here, so I will try to share my screen. All right. That look good?
Perfect.
Okay. Morning again, Chairman Olson, Commissioners, Secretary Roblin. Again, my name is Dan Richards, and I manage several parks up here in the upper Missouri, including Hiddenwood. And it's kind of my pleasure this morning to talk to you about what we've been involved with in the last 4 years and the process that it's taken to get Lake Hiddenwood reopened. I know that there's been a lot of hard work and long hours and invested in this time for the park. And frankly, I don't think we'd be here today if it wasn't for the dedication of all those who have been involved in with the department and the partnerships that we developed. And of course, the relationships that we've also developed with a lot of the folks who've helped us both financially and with volunteer hours along the way. So, Lake Hiddenwood is located 5 miles northeast of Selby. It was established by Game Fish and Parks in 1927 as one of the first earthen dams. The park includes 13 campsites. We have like 5 miles of hiking trails, a boat ramp access, fishing and picnicking. Now, back in May 17th, back in 2018, we had like 13 inches of rain falling into the upper drainage that flowed into the creek that flows into Lake Hiddenwood. And it actually flowed up over the road and the dam and the spillway that night and caused a catastrophic failure of the dam. The access road that goes into the park, it's the only one that we can get in there, was collapsed along with the bridge. Most of the bridge, the spillway, and main part of the road on the dam there. We have three of our hiking bridges. All of them were damaged or destroyed in the park. This particular one here, the Split Rock Hiking Bridge, was fortunately not completely destroyed and just moved off its abutment about 100 feet down stream. This is the other side of the dam on the south side, the park access road that goes into the campground. Of course, the lake would have been on the right-hand side. And you can see as it overflowed the road, we had damage on the west end of the road there, pretty much eroding all that side. So after the flood, initial assessment that we did pretty much deemed it unfeasible to replace the earthen dam structure with department funding. And so we sought federal assistance. We had some FEMA folks come down and looked at it, and fortunately they deemed it as ineligible for FEMA funding. The park was closed the day after, May 18th, and we put up a bunch of safety barriers to keep people from getting close to the edge and everything like that. And once we had some of that the signage up and safety for that, we looked at what we could do, what was the next step. And we determined the best thing we could do was form a group of stakeholders. And this was a fairly large group. It represented both city, county, state, and federal representatives on there. We had local business folks that were on there. We had park users, and we had local adjacent landowners to the park. And from that, we worked with the National Guard to see if we could get them. I know they've helped us in the past to get them involved to see if they could actually build a road back into the park or clean up the earthen dam area. And that did not materialize, unfortunately. And so from that original stakeholders group, we formed a foundation, like Hidwin Foundation. And it was a group from that bigger group that of dedicated folks who were willing to see this through the entire process. And their goal was to see the park reopened as it was before. And so this ongoing partnership, that's basically the first couple of years within this foundation. We were we spent a lot of our time and efforts raising funds and developing relationships with businesses and private folks for funding and also to see what they could do as far as helping us out with any sort of volunteerism that they would be interested in. Well, I suppose it was last fall, and we got to that point where we had secured enough funding and to where we could actually look at finding a contractor. We bid it out. We started doing engineering work and survey work, and we came up with a new road access. There's the map on there shows the road to the south. We kept it away from the creek to, so we wouldn't have any sort of problems in the future again with flooding or culverts or anything like that could flood with the creek there. And the only aspect we had is a little bit of a drainage area there that we had to kind of go through. But that was the design that we kind of came up with. And we hired Oben Construction, got the bid this last winter. And Oben's out of Ipswich. A neat guy, a great company. He's really dedicated to small communities. And of course, you know, we had a small budget that we were trying to accomplish this with and limited resources. And he kind of came to the rescue, so to speak. And so he started construction in May of this year. And we did have to put a 54-inch culvert in there on that drainage. But thankfully, we're away from the creek. And voila, towards the end of May there, he finished the project. It's probably the nicest road in Walver County when it comes to unimproved gravel. And so we got a road access in there. And so here's kind of where we're at today now. These are some of the things we had to kind of get going in order to get this park opened. We did install a bunch of road safety barriers on the former dam locations. We still have a lot of cleanup to do down there, and that safety issue of that big gap has not been addressed. So we put barriers up for that. We've had park staff and volunteers have been super busy over there to get the park ready for reopening. Now, one thing we have been doing in the last 4 years is organizing volunteer groups and cleanup parties to go down in there. And we've been cleaning up sites, working on the trails, removing any debris, and going through all the damage that had happened during the flood that caused issues with the vault toilets and those types of things, and keeping it mowed. So when it came time to reopen, it wouldn't be such a huge process. We had to do some new signage down there. We had to relocate our fee station kiosk. And once that was all up and running, We opened it up back to the public on Tuesday, June 21st. Campsites are now on the Go Outdoors reservation system. Sites will be primitive until we complete an electrical compliance situation with the we had the state electrical inspector over there, and there's some, even though we have power to all the pedestals because of the flooding, there's some different tests that we need to do in order to make sure we're good with the Office of Risk Management. Additional improvements going forward, we still have to work on one of the two bridges to get that functional. There's facilities and that we have to kind of get up to standards, and some of the areas on the hiking trails need to be done, and those are getting worked on throughout this summer to where we can get to meet kind of our high standards that we have. This is a picture of a road barrier that we'd set up. We've got concrete kind of jersey barriers along there to keep people from driving down there. This is the kiosk station we put up. We had to do all that, brought in a bunch of fill in there and everything in base to get that so people can access that. As you imagine, the campground, all our gravel got washed away, and so we had to go in there, and we had some volunteers actually donate a couple truckloads of gravel for us, and we went in there and put it all on the campground road and the pads in there. And bridges, we've got two of the three bridges back in position and functioning. This is the Split Rock hiking bridge. This is that bridge in the earlier photo that was about 100 feet down the creek. And so we had to get some equipment. It was all volunteer work that day. And we had farmers come out with tractors, and we was able to get that thing put back on the original abutment. And the first camper of the year we got down there. So that's kind of looks like what it looks like down in the park area down there. I did want to mention that the key to this whole effort was really the partnerships that the department developed. In the foundation is a 501(c). They had multiple fundraisers that we did in the first couple years in 19 and 20. They raised over it's still continuing to this day, and it's for over $115,000. And we probably have over 1,000 hours of volunteer time, labor, and effort. And this ranges all the way from the last 4 years of organized groups going out to the park to do cleanup, to folks that we sign up to help us with mowing and maintenance. And, we had farmers come out and help us haul gravel during the road construction process. So, and we even had an adjacent landowner. This is really critical. He let us access the park. The only way we could get into the park was through his on the edge of his cornfield. And for the last 4 years, he let us access that so we could get a fleet vehicle. We get our vehicles and mowers and stuff in there to actually do a lot of this volunteer work. And of course, these efforts continue. And but it's I got nothing but compliments and admiration for all those who stepped up. Hiddenwood is not a very big park. It's in a small community, and folks really kind of stepped up to help us out, and we was able to do this really with limited resources. So it's I'm pretty excited about in the friendships that we developed along the way with a lot of the businesses and just park advocates has been really special too. That said, I open up to the questions for the commission if they have any.
Thank you. That's a great report. Does anybody have any questions on this? Yep, Commissioner Risler.
Commissioner Risler, Dan, thank you. I'm always pleasantly surprised as I continue to hear about the volunteers in our state that step up. It's heartwarming to see. My question is, it looks like you guys open June 21st. What kind of traffic campers have you had? What has that looked like since you've opened up?
The camping is somewhat limited just because we don't have electrical service down there, you know, and you know, most folks, they want to come out with a camper or they want to come out with a trailer. And it can get kind of hot down there for, you know, without air conditioning. And so it's, if we had that operational, we would probably be able to get a kind of a good idea of what it will look like, you know, with this camping boom that we've been experiencing the last couple of years. Fortunately, we've had, this is a small group. I think we've probably had, as of now, I think we had a couple people over the 4th of July. And I think we got one guy down there now camping. And so it's pretty limited. There are a lot of people that coming in and looking at it and of course using some of the trails, but you know, it's probably looking like it, you know, once we can get that power going, if next year we can really market it as being open. And of course we started a little late in the season. A lot of people already had plans, made reservations. And my hope is we get a lot of guys that like to come or folks come down there in the fall to go hunting. And maybe we could have, we could see some of those guys come back too. So we'll see. We're crossing our fingers on this electrical issue.
Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, great report. On the actual footprint of where that reservoir was, is that the future of that? Will that be like a wetland, or is that just going to be kind of marshy area? I'm curious if there's going to be you know, kind of a wildlife habitat opportunity there, or just what the future of that is.
Yeah, you know, there's already great hunting opportunities in and around the park there. In fact, the deer kind of took it over the last 4 years. We're kind of pushing them out now, but that there is some waterfall habitat down there. Where the deepest part of the lake was, we've kind of have a pond slough area down in there. Now there are some plans. And of course the main focus was to get this road built and get through all them hurdles as we get into the process of moving on to like what I kind of call phase two. I've been working with some of the fisheries guys and possibly maybe we could create something on the east end of the park where the boat ramp was of somewhat of a maybe do a coffer dam, you know, get the guard in there to help clean that out for us and create somewhat of, you know, a little lake in there again. And so those are some of the things we're looking at, you know, and of course, you know, funding will be an issue and that sort of thing. But, you know, we'd like to see something involved with, you know, the you know, whether we can get kayaks and canoes or something back in there involved in, you know, to utilize that creek and that create somewhat of a little lake back in there again. That's kind of our hope. And maybe in the next couple of years, we can get something in the process there.
Thank you. Anyone else have any questions for Dan?
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, commissioners.